Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Workmen and women that do not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth,
Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, that as always, this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Dr. G, we were, and Sheila G, we were studying this. We were looking at how that he wasn't thinking about what he would have to go through, but he was actually thinking about those who were lost. And so he was humble enough to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm God, and, you know, I'm a pre-incarnation when I was in heaven with God, is that, you know, I'm not going to use that, but because sin occurred in the flesh on the earth, I'm going to divest myself from being able to use my full godly power so that I can operate in the flesh, be subjected to the same temptation as those who are on earth, and be able to do it without succumbing to sin, so I can satisfy the penalty, which says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. so when he divested himself from being able to use his deity and have to be tempted like everybody else in this world, but without sin, he satisfied the penalty of death in the grave. And he did that by being humble, even to death, which was the most horrendous death, which is the death on the cross. And so during this time of him sacrificing, he demonstrated humility that he wants the church to have. But too many times, Sheila G, the church remains arrogant and act like, you know, we got it going on and like we've done something other than simply by grace receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so Paul is going to talk to the Philippian church in chapter 2 and tell them how to be humble. That's like a hard thing to do nowadays. Like people have false humility, like they're perpetrating fraud, they're putting on airs. They're not really humble. But Christ wants us to have the mind of Christ that says, I'm going to be humble, and everything I do is going to glorify God. And so Sheila G starts off in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So in other words, what he's saying is, in order for us to have the proper love, in order for us to have the proper fellowship, in order for us to be able to deal with each other in a spiritual realm from a place of a relationship with Christ, that we have to learn to take on the mind of Christ. And a lot of times, Sheila G, it's difficult to take on the mind of Christ if we're not operating in the Spirit. Mm. And that's key to the Christian church, is that we have to operate in the Spirit. And when you learn to operate in the Spirit, now you can do the things of Christ. So what do we mean by operating in the Spirit? Well, operating in the Spirit means that we recognize we're in the flesh, but we recognize that God has his abode with us, inside of us, and so we turn to the Spirit that's in, and that response out of what the flesh wants to do. And you have to do that on a constant basis.
You have to do that all the time.
You have to do that on a constant basis mm-hmm. because the flesh is a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes, it is. You have to do it. You can't just do it once and say, okay, I'm good now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I yield to you, Lord, so the flesh is never going to rise again. That's just not so, because that temptation is around you 24/7 to allow that flesh to go forward. And that's why you always have to do take two or the count of 10.
Yeah.
Or what would Jesus do? Or just say nothing until you can say
Lord
something.
Have mercy. mm-hmm. But Dr. G, he's telling us, he said, this is how you deal with your situation, is to deal with it the way Christ did. Mm-hmm. And he said, we need to be on one accord. Because, again, Paul's writing to the Philippian church. Philippians, this is a love letter, one of his last letters that he was writing in prison. And he's writing to the church, but he's saying, church folk need to get themselves together, basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
He said we act too fleshy.
Hello.
We act too fleshy.
Amen.
We don't get on one accord.
Nope.
You didn't come to my picnic, I'm not coming to your banquet.
Right.
If you didn't come to my outreach,
my
program, I'm not coming to yawn. You know, if you didn't wear the flower, I said the colors. You didn't wear, we said the colors were going to be blue and silver. You showed up in green, so I'm not coming to your program. You didn't come see me when I was sick, so I'm not going to see you when you're sick.
Come on.
You know, all this crazy fleshy stuff that we do in the church. And Paul is saying, come on, man. Christ could have never accomplished what he needed to on earth if he was that in the flesh. In order for when he expressed to the universe and the powers that be that the David man touches of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, he said, in that day you will surely die. And so all of the spiritual powers in the universe sat back and said, well, they touched it. Who gonna die?
Come on.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They looked at God and said, you say you a God that cannot lie. They didn't touch it. They didn't ate of the fruit. Who gonna die? They ain't fit to die. So how they gonna die?
Mm-hmm.
So they sit back and say, now how you gonna deal with that? I can see one of them spiritual female demons talking about how you gonna deal with that.
Uh-huh.
How you gonna deal with that God?
Come
Them's
on.
Your peeps.
Uh-huh.
Adam and what's her name?
Come on.
How you gonna deal with that?
Uh-huh.
And God said, "Don't sweat it, baby. Don't sweat it.
I got this.
I got a plan.
I got this. Just yield to me.
Yeah, just yield to me. I got a plan.
This.
And so they sitting like, what you gonna do with that, right?
All for
what you gonna do with that?
And he said,
don't go cheating going down there like God, like you a deity, you can stand all these things. He said, I'm not gonna do that. He said, it happened in the flesh. I'm gonna deal with it in the flesh.
Well,
you know, it happened." Adam and Eve sinned in the flesh as humans, and so he had to deal with it in a human form.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he divested himself of his deity and had to deal with it in human form so that he could be under the same temptation that they were and show and demonstrate to them how it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he did that without sin, that's how he secured our salvation. Because he was in the flesh under the same temptation and testing, but yet he was humble, and yet he followed the instruction of his Father so that he could deliver us by being that perfect sacrifice from the power and the penalty of sin.
Mm.
And so by doing that, that's how he secured it. So now he's telling us that we need to stop tripping, that we need to have the mind of Christ. Now, how many of us wake up in the morning, Sheila G, and say, well, I'm going to have the mind of Christ?
I don't think so.
Why you have to pray in the morning.
First thing we do is turn on them radio personalities.
Hello.
Yeah. TV.
Come on.
mad at the alarm clock.
Mad at the alarm clock.
Mad because you got to go to work.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, let me get myself together and be thankful for this job that gets on my nerves.
It keeps putting money in my account every 2 weeks.
Okay, that's
or twice a month.
Just a little bit of heat that my husband's allowing me to have.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my job.
Amen. But you gotta have that mind of Christ because he's talking to the church. He says, in order to fulfill me, my joy. And that's the thing that the church misses a lot of time. You ever been in church? You go for like 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months or sometimes you go for longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem like there's any joy.
Hello.
It seems like people are on edge, people are going through stuff, people are angry, people are tired, people are frustrated. It's like there's no joy.
Right.
And it's like you're in church going through the motion, you're singing here, and you're just going through it, everybody looking around, and you know, you get that smile, hey, how you doing? But you know, but there's really no joy there, because what's happening is we let the world, the circumstances of the world dictate how we should feel.
Right.
But when I was preaching Sunday, it was like I was telling them that God has already defeated death in the grave.
Amen.
What on this earth is worse than death in the grave?
That's right.
He's already defeated it. So what are we to be upset and mad and tired and all of that when God's already taken care of all that? And it's just going to be for a little while that we're suffering. But we don't want to suffer nothing.
No.
And so he says, in order for you to fulfill my joy, have this mind in verse 2, Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
That's right.
Can you imagine if we had the love of Christ walking around in us all the time, or in expressing it to each other?
And all going in directions.
Same direction.
20 different directions. Love one God, but I want to do it my way. Mm-hmm. You want to do it your way. You want to do it your way. Instead of us all coming together and understanding how powerful that is.
Amen. When you all want accord, it's like you're a force that can be used for good. And so then he goes on, and this is why I say in 3, there was some stuff going on in the church.
Yeah.
There was some stuff going on, man. And he's dealing with it in verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through what? Strife.
Woo-hoo. Say it again. Say that one again.
Strife. Mm-hmm. You know why folk don't want to come to church? The church folk acting up.
Yeah.
He's like, if they act like that in there,
why go?
I can deal with that outside of church.
Right. The deacon want to fight the pastor.
Come on.
The pastor's wife want to fight the deacon.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an attitude.
Everybody has attitude. And this is in our Bible. This is in
mm-hmm.
our Holy Bible. Strife and then vainglory.
Mm-hmm.
People want to take
point
the glory
themselves.
From God.
Right.
And he's saying, don't do that. That's the wrong approach. That's what's causing you problems in your life. It's sort of like red dye 40 for me. I can't eat it. If I eat it, it's going to cause me some pain. Stay away from it. So God's saying to them, if you got strife in your life, if you got vainglory, you're doing it for the wrong reason, you're going to have problems.
Right.
And so what does he say? He says, but in a lowliness of mind,
mm-hmm.
and this is where everybody got to take a reality check. He says, let each esteem other
better than themselves.
Wow. Dr. G, what is up with that?
But the whole thing is, you know, we get so caught up with these titles, and it goes to our head, and we can be in church, it really doesn't matter where we are, and we get caught up, and as you said, you know, we're not walking in the spirit, but the flesh has gotten hold of us, and we begin to think not in the spirit, thinking in the flesh, and it's about what we want, or what we want to do, or what we don't see going on, and that's the whole thing right there. You know, we're not following the Lord's instruction. We're doing our own thing out
right.
of our own emotion.
Right.
And so we get caught up in that stuff.
So Sheila G, why do you think that has a tendency to come up in the church?
People tend to have their own personal agenda.
Yep.
And everybody's agenda is different. And some people just want to be seen.
Amen.
And some people may not necessarily just want to be seen, but they may
knowledge.
Want to be left alone in the corner by the side and not want to fellowship.
Amen.
So we all need to fellowship, come together, understand it's not about us.
Amen.
It is not about us. And that's the thing. Is we always want to make it about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotions may be that, you know what, this person hurt me 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So I can't say anything to them anymore because they hurt me 3 weeks ago. But if you turn it over to God, and I was telling my daughter Jessica about this, you're going to let somebody have that kind of power over you.
Right.
Because that blocks your blessing. Then you're blocking somebody else's blessing
right.
because you can't be on one accord.
Right.
Whereas if you're lowly in mind, you're like, okay, fine. You're coming at me this way, but I got a God that's stronger than anybody.
Right.
And I know that he can make me feel better. And if we all think like that and put our trust in the Lord, then we all can come together and we can all overcome the things of the world.
Right. And you know, I've seen people just stop doing ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Preachers stop preaching.
Yeah.
Teachers stop teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Choir members sit down. Mm-hmm. People just say, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore.
And you're hurting yourself.
And you know, we can't get along with each other.
Right.
Because of the strife and the vainglory. And so when he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, when you begin to start looking at others and putting others in a different light, then what happens is people begin to start experiencing the love and the joy that Christ gives when you start behaving like him. It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, you can look at the glass half full, or you can look at it half empty. And so when you begin to start looking at your glass as half full, what happens is, though, it might be half, but you got joy. That other person might have half, but they don't have any joy.
Right.
Both of you still got half, but somebody got joy and somebody's not joyful. And so what God is saying is you can experience joy in any situation or any circumstance. You begin to start having my mind.
Right.
Sort of like, well, what you were saying about, you know, we complain about the job, but we thank God for the little bling
right.
in the bank that we got.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? And so this is what Christ is saying. He's saying, this is how I dealt with the situation that you all got yourself in, was by humbling myself, not dealing with strife, not dealing with vainglory, but pointing to my Father and his plan. And this is how I dealt with the pull of the world. And he's saying, this is how you got to deal with it. Don't think on yourself. Think all the time. Think of some other folks.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes such a big difference. I really like it, the fourth, where it says, look not every man on his own things,
mm-hmm.
but every man also on the things of others.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really been able to see this over the last year or so.
Yeah.
Every fourth Sunday, we go to see Sister Henry
and
minister to her. She had a stroke, and she can't come out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first saw her, she was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been blessed because we've been able to see her grow.
Yeah.
And now when we walk in there, she has the biggest smile on her face.
Yeah.
She's talking to us. And because we did that for her, now, yes, could we have gone home after Sunday, got something to eat, put our feet up,
watch
a football game?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we quote-unquote made that sacrifice, but it ended up being a joy to us
because
we got to see how God worked in that lady's life.
Absolutely.
And she was in tears on this past Sunday when she saw us. And those of us that were not there for whatever reason really missed it. Really missed it. And that's putting others first. That's saying, I'm trying to be cute, and I got these shoes on that killing my feet, but I'm coming over here anyway.
But we ended up
getting the blessing.
With that whole thing, you know, every so often, even as Christians, we need to do some self-examination and ask ourselves, why am I? What am I in for? You know, this whole thing is talking about selfish ambition, but we have to put what he has to the side. It's got to be about what God has.
Yeah.
The Lord want us to go and be about other people, be concerned about others, all folks, check on them, not so much get into business, but do ministry.
Right.
Yeah, it's more than just walking around with a title and carrying a Bible, and you know, we give a couple of dollars in the church and we think we done it. But as a child of God, you've got to love God's people.
Amen.
Right. In spite of those people.
Amen.
Amen. And so you know, Paul sets this up and says, this is a situation, and, you know, you got a little selfish strife going on here. You're trying to, you know, do your thing. He's saying, look, this is how I dealt with. And this is what I love about the Word of God, Sheila G., is that he just doesn't, you know, say, you got this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. But he says, this is how I deal with it. And he shows that he dealt with it himself. See, God won't allow us to go through anything that he hasn't gone through and dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so we always have the example of how to deal with it. And whatever our situation is, we have a God that has dealt with it. He knows our beginnings and my end. He knows everything that's going to happen. And he gives us examples. But we have to get out of the flesh of thinking we know it. We're going to do it our way. We're going to handle it our way.
Right.
And start doing it his way. And then we can start experiencing the victory of having the mind of Christ. So we want to get to some studio audience. But we're going to take some folk on the phone right now and just ask them about looking at the glass half full or looking at it half empty, and what type of frame of mind does it put you in when you see it as half full compared to seeing it as half empty. You still got the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well look at it
as,
hey, I'm halfway there.
Right.
Or instead of
I'm
missing half. I'm missing half.
I have another half to go.
So we didn't go to the phone line. We're gonna try to get someone on the line. We're gonna go to 212. 212, you're on air.
212, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
And, Happy Thursday.
And I just want to say, you know, your key point was the mind.
Yeah.
And if our mind is not renewed in Jesus Christ, then we'll tend to look at things negatively a lot of times, especially if it doesn't seem like it's favorable. And, you know, Brother Paul was talking about that in Romans 12, too, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
If the person's mind is not Christ-like, then things will seem, the glass will never seem right, period. It will never be a half full or half, you know, if you understand what I'm saying. No matter what.
Exactly.
So we know that the mind is
important.
That's right. It will always be something wrong. That's the thing. That's my whole issue with that. So the renewing of the mind in Christ Jesus is perfect. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for your comment. We'll go to 1741. 1741, you're on air.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
First Lady Gregory and Pastor Gregory.
Bless you.
How are you all?
Good. What do you think about that, the attitude of looking at the glass half full, the mindset of having it half full or half empty? Both have it as if it has, one person is joyful and one person is upset. What do you think about having that mind of Christ? How does that guide you?
When you have the mind of Christ, you also are given a certain amount of faith and belief. And even though at that particular time that glass might be half full, but God can take a little bit and multiply and give you a whole lot. And while you're waiting for God to give you the increase, if you keep the faith in Him and believe in your heart, then God's going to give you exactly what you need. It's all in how we perceive God.
Thank you for your comment. We're going to go to a caller. We're going to go to 2843. 2843, you on it? 2843? Let's be listening. Go down to 4626. 426. Run there. Hello? That's me, another one. We're going to go to, take a break from our phone line. We're going to go to our studio audience. You can ask someone in our studio audience what they think about this mindset of looking at the glass half full or half empty, having the mind of Christ and finding joy with what God has given you.
I think that one thing it does, you know, I definitely agree with that. It does go back to the frame of the mind. I think with some people who look at it kind of pessimistically is that it's not even really half empty or half full. It's basically, if it's not full, I failed, I'm depressed, I'm upset. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one thing you have to realize is that when you are looking at where you are and saying, okay, the glass is half full, half empty, it's really only a snapshot of where you are currently at that point in time that you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it is, too, is that even if you look at it half full or half empty, the fact remains that you're at the halfway point. Accomplishments have been made.
Exactly.
The glass is has something in it.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's not an empty glass. Then then you can look at that differently. But there's something in the glass, so you can just look at it and say, I'm halfway home. But I think it's all in the mindset that you're in. You also have to look at, some people may have assumed that, oh, the glass should have been full by now, so they're kind of saying it's not going as fast as I would like it, or in translating it to the world, things aren't happening as fast as I would like them to, or I'm not currently where I want to be. But remember, when you're analyzing the glass, it's just an immediate snapshot of where you are at that point in time. It doesn't mean that 2-3 weeks from now, the glass won't be 3/4 of the way full.
Right.
But nobody's going to say it's 3/4 of the way, 25% empty. You see what I'm saying? So it's really only the halfway mark that you kind of really look at. But remember, even if you're at the halfway mark, it's half full. So that means you have accomplished something.
Well, let me throw this at you.
Suppose
I'll
catch you. Throw it at me.
Suppose it drops down to 25%.
then I think what you need to do is you need to get a strong support system, because evidently you can't do it by yourself.
Amen. But you know, but what was your mind saying? Well, at least I still got 25.
Exactly. And remember, yeah, it depends on how you look at it. But, right, I mean, right, the one thing you don't want to do is nobody ever wants to say, well, I have a quarter of a glass full,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
I mean, it definitely can hit you. You know, it definitely can hit you. But I think it goes back to what Pastor Gregory said. If you're at halfway, the next week you're at 25%, you definitely need to self-reflect,
right,
and probably get a strong support team,
right,
to help you out, because you may be trying to take on too much
by
yourself.
By yourself.
So I think at that,
right,
point, if you start backtracking, I think you need to definitely get some people on your team to kind of help push you over that hurdle.
Amen. 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 Somebody else here with you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I really have one question and one comment. Because you think about perception. Whose perception? What is full? Where am I when it's full? Because
mm-hmm.
I may, at half, maybe that's where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
That is my, right, at half, or what others say is half, maybe that's my half. Maybe that's where God intended me to be, and I'm not supposed to go any higher, any lower. Things that I've been gifted to do, the things that I've been gifted to use, put me at this.
That's where I am right now.
Midway point. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess I, you know, kind of think about that sometimes, is whose perception or who determines what is half for me or what is full for you.
Right, right.
And again, to Pastor Gregory's point regarding self-introspection, something actually happened to me today, which was really cool, and it goes to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the week or last week, I did a lot of self-introspection on, okay, it's the new year, not doing any resolutions or anything, but what about me? Can I improve, or what can I make different? What can I do differently? And I changed some things here and there. So today at work, there were some things kind of chaotic going on, but I go into my boss's office, and she looks at me, and she said, I know this has to be hard for you. How do you do it? Like, you're not upset. You're not.
Yeah.
I'm like, for what? I come in here and I do the job that I get paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I'm going to allow anybody to steal from me. I
right.
came in here with joy.
All
I woke
right.
up with
All
joy.
Right.
I woke
All
up
right.
with peace.
Right.
I'm at peace. Anything else that goes on, that's above my pay grade, and you deal with it. So, you know,
I
really, there's no need for me to have to be overly
right.
upset
exactly.
or stressed out, because the joy and the peace that I have within allows me to go back to my desk, send a couple emails, shut down my computer, and go home and come and deal with the thing of tomorrow on tomorrow. I'm not going to sleep on it or anything. So I think that everything that we do starts with self.
Mm-hmm.
Are you waking up thinking of Christ? Are
Amen.
You waking up
That's
with
right.
the mindset that I'm going to have a good day and
yeah.
I'm going to be a better person? And you just go with that.
Amen. Amen.
That's something that I always say as I'm walking into my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, Lord, lead, guide, and direct my path, and keep me from evil.
Amen.
And that just covers me for the whole day, regardless of, like, Teflon, everything that comes up.
Somebody else? Tell me about this mindset, half full, half empty.
I believe it depends. You also want to think about wine and my holy water and my juice. What am I? Am I a reflection of deacon, pastor?
All right.
Or just a member in the church? At the same time, you do want to give the same direction that you want to go in into the people outside of church.
Amen.
The people around you.
Amen. All right.
I think this sister right here said it all. The only thing I want to say is that it really is about mindset, because, you know, you could be at empty and you could be fulfilled. But, you know, I really don't need to say anything else. She really, really covered it all.
Mm-hmm.
And you could wake up today, could be empty, tomorrow could be full. But it really depends on what aspect you're looking at in your life. As long as you're moving forward, you're moving towards Christ, and you're not working backwards. And you know in your heart when you're working backwards. No one needs to tell you. You
Amen.
Know, no
Amen.
One needs to guide you and tell you, you know when you're right, you know when you're wrong. And at the end of the day, it's all about you and what you did that day to make a difference in other people's lives. And have you helped people to,
right.
you know, either draw them closer to Christ or
just made an impact in their life. And I was just, you know, talking to Aaron on the way here about all the situations that are going on around us, and there's so much negative going on around us that everyone, if they really wanted to, mm-hmm. they could snap their mind on and say, I want to be a good person. I want to wake up tomorrow and greet people in the morning and say, hi, how are you today? Instead of like, look at what was she wearing that, you know?
Right.
It's all up here, and we have the power.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed us with that power, each and every one of us. We are all his children. So if he instilled all those qualities in us and we don't use it, that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's on us. So we have the power to change. We have the power to make a difference. And, you know, we can just all wake up one day and just be in heaven right here on earth.
Amen. Your mindset.
That's so true. And, you know, one of the things that we as Christians do that we don't realize it, we invite negativity.
Amen.
You could be looking a blessing right in our face.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed us to have a car,
mm-hmm.
but maybe the car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
So we can either say, oh, this car, I can't believe this car, or mm-hmm. we can say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have a car,
mm-hmm.
and help me, Lord,
Amen.
To figure out how to get it fixed.
Amen.
But we tend to want to just invite negativity. Very important that we humble ourselves. Understand that any and everything that we have in our life, God
mm-hmm.
gave it to us anyway.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And for us to be negative is basically saying that he doesn't know what he's doing.
Amen.
Just saying.
Because, you know, it's easy to look at the negative. You know, it's easy to complain. It's easy to gripe. But when you have to look at things in a positive sense, it takes a little bit more energy.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but
spirit.
You know, we are just a little lazy.
Say it, Dr. G.
To go the extra mile. Well, we don't want to put forth that effort. Not unless somebody is dangling some money or something that we want in front of us. You know, then, oh, yeah, we'll rush to get there.
Right.
But if it's spiritual, We don't have that same get up
effort.
And go.
And so, you know, Paul puts the situation out here. Paul is, again, in prison. And he's putting out, you know, this word, you know, to the churches, trying to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's not thinking of himself.
Right.
He doesn't even have his freedom.
Come on.
You know, he's in a dark, you know, restricted place. And you know, a lot of us, when things don't go our way, you know, a lot of times our minds start tripping. Why is so-and-so doing so-and-so? And I should have did, and they should have did. I've been doing it for 5 years. Why they got to go and do it so and so? They just got here, and I've been doing this, and now he call on them all the time. But they his favorite. He didn't kick me and forgot about me.
Okay.
And here Paul is in prison on lockdown. So I'm like, let me try to help these folks to be on one accord to advance the cause of Christ. Because when they do that and get on one accord, stop thinking about them.
Right.
What happens, it brings joy. And so Paul was able to experience joy and the blessings of God even in the prison cell. And that's the way he's teaching us how to overcome the adversity that crops up in our lives. And so after he explains to him what the problem is, he goes on and tells him in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a big step.
Huh.
This is serious. This is some heavy doctrine, heavy lift. This is something that we really, 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 you have to be on the spiritual mind to understand what the gravity of what God did.
Right.
We got to put on our serious spiritual caps now to see what he did. In other words, he's God and man at the same time. But before he took and made the choice to become God and man at the same time, he was fully God,
mm-hmm.
the Son of God, hadn't taken on the flesh yet.
Privilege.
And he chose, amen, to take on the form of flesh and deal with our mess.
Mm.
With my preach coming on. Lord have mercy. To take on our flesh
and deal with, take on flesh and deal with our mess, because we don't understand the gravity of what sin does in our lives. Mm. Sin separates us from God. And sometimes we think we big and bad. I got this. I can handle this. And we're separating ourselves from God. And so what he did was monumental, Dr. G. It was monumental. Mm-hmm. It was like I'm going to divest myself from my pre-incarnate state of coming in the flesh and say, when I come in the flesh, I'm not going to use these powers I have right here.
All right.
But allow myself to be in a situation where I'm exposed to the same temptation, the same trials and tribulation, pain and suffering that everybody else is, and show them how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and prove to all the principalities and rulers in the universe that it can be done, and live a life where God will accept my death, my burial, my resurrection as payment for sin for all the rest of these folks.
Mm-hmm.
That not fit to die or fit to live.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
That's love.
Yes, it is.
You feel, so this is some heavy stuff right here. In other words, he's saying, I want this mind to be in you.
Right.
In other words, I want you to be able to have the mind to be able to comprehend what I did and to give of yourself like I gave of myself for you. Whoa.
So that you can have to draw someone else.
Whoa.
That's how God knows that if you let the Jesus in you, if you truly become an ambassador for Christ,
amen.
And people see you not just during the happy times, but they know that you're going through something,
mm-hmm.
and you still have a positive attitude, that's how you're going to show the love of God and draw others to say, you know what, I want to be able to do that.
Amen.
But if you're on one hand saying, on Monday, girl, we had a great time in church on Sunday, and then on Monday afternoon, you just cussing folk out. And it's like, okay.
It happens. It happens.
And it's like, okay, you know what? I don't need to go to church on Sunday and do that. So.
But the thing is, it's like, how do we take on that mind? He said, let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's like, wow.
Much prayer.
This is a heavy lift for me that I need to look past. You know, I'm going to talk about myself. I need to look past Kason's fault,
mm-hmm.
and see his need. Lord have mercy. How many times we have people in our lives, husband, wives, your boo, your boogum, snookums, your significant other, and all of that, amen. And we have to learn how to deal with their mess.
Yeah, amen.
Because everybody brings baggage,
amen.
Whether we realize it or not.
Amen.
Anybody got baggage?
Come
and
on.
And even
how
when
we said, got milk?
Come on.
Got baggage?
And even when we do realize it.
Got baggage?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got a little funk going on somewhere?
Well.
Nah.
A little Febreze needed? A little holy Febreze. Holy Ghost Febreze needed.
Amen.
And so you got... You, you got to get to the mindset of being able to realize it, recognize it, and treating people the way Christ would treat them,
mm-hmm.
in spite of how angry and upset you are with them.
That's right.
In other words, you acting like a complete idiot. Can I say idiot?
Go ahead.
Yes,
you
okay.
acting like a complete
That's
idiot right now.
That's right.
Sometimes wives say that to their husband.
Uh-huh.
Even if they don't say it audibly, they probably say it under their breath. You're
Amen.
Acting like a complete idiot.
Amen.
And then we take on the Job role. You act like a complete foolish woman.
I know that's right.
You know, we don't say it audibly. We
Amen.
Say it under our breath.
Wow.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Let's make it plain.
But I have the mind of Christ.
Well.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
I understand that the Spirit of God does dwell in you. Amen. And if I keep treating you like a child of God, amen, and telling you what thus saith the Lord, amen,
mm-hmm.
somewhere along the line, you're going to get tired of the Holy Spirit jerking your chain,
amen.
Amen.
And jerking your behind back in line.
Act right.
And you're going to get some act right and come out of that foolishness or idiotism.
That's
Can I get an amen?
Go ahead, amen.
But if we live in the flesh,
right, we're
gonna
right
amen, we're going to go battle the battle. With anybody ever in a relationship where you say, they say, but you're going to battle the battle? And then you realize, well, this isn't working.
And at that point, it's time to separate.
That way or that way.
Chill out.
Amen. You go over there. You go over there. And let the Lord work.
And let the Lord work
all between them.
Let that mind of Christ start settling you down. Mm-hmm. Looking at the glasses half full instead of half empty.
And not be so fleshy.
Lord have mercy. They do love me and they do have good qualities.
Help me.
I'm taking an inhale and an exhale.
Count to 10.
Count to 10, take 2, all that, and it eventually it works out.
Yes, it does. And versus going toe-to-toe.
Mm.
Because the more you go toe-to-toe, the more strife there is,
mm-hmm.
and the harder it'll be in order to get back on one of them. It's just best to recognize, and that's the Christ in you that says, although I want to say 5 more sentences, because I know I'm right. Let me just shut it up because he's not going to hear the 5 sentences anyway, and we're just going to be more mad. So, okay. Let me go in the bathroom and say my 5 sentences to myself.
And the sister said, yay,
amen.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellas say,
amen. Amen.
We a little slow every now and then. We a little slow. We come around.
Oh, yeah.
We come around.
Eventually.
We come around. Amen. But it's a thing of what God did. He was long-suffering
yes,
with
he
us.
Was.
But see,
yes.
we don't have the mindset to want to long-suffer for nothing.
No.
We want instant gratification.
Like that.
We want it handled and done right now.
Right now.
We don't want wait. We don't want
nope.
wait on anything
nope.
or anybody.
That's mm. right.
We don't want to put up with no lip,
nope.
no attitude,
nope.
no nothing.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
And if it deviates, we got a 2. We got a problem.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And so. Christ puts up with this with everybody. He said, I need you to have this mindset.
Mm.
Right.
This mindset that says, and see, when in verse 6, he said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
And he said, I will be cheating the process. He said, I will be robbing the process if I dealt with this with my deity. So he said, I'm not even going to deal with it this way. He said, I'm going to be humble enough to say, I'm going to set my deity on the side right here and deal
mm-hmm.
with it in the flesh to show you all. So he said, I'm not even going to, you know, or steal or rob or deviate from what needs to be done because I'm God, even though I can.
Right.
And so one of the hardest things for people to do is to do what's right, even though somebody else is
wrong. That's
mm-hmm.
right. That is right.
Ooh,
that's
anybody ever drove on the beltway?
That's
that ego.
Somebody cut you off.
Come on.
Out.
And flipped you the finger.
Hello.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
Out.
And you got our fellowship is such and such. Church. Praise the Lord. Bumper sticker all over your stuff. Hey. They done cut you off. You had
right.
to tap your brakes off. And they flipped you off and cut you out. And the flesh in you says.
Right back at you.
Flip them off. Catch up gas. Cut them back off. And you all go to such and such church where my pastor is. The right reverend doctor. Bishop. Amen.
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 Uh-huh.
But the thing is, the mind of Christ says, even though they're wrong, you still have to behave like Christ would.
Right. And let them look foolish by themselves.
Right.
It's a tough lift. Amen.
Yeah, you got where you work at and insurance things. They call this number if you say
right. That's right.
Just keep driving. And so every day we gotta say, is the mind of Christ, coworkers that come in and kirk out on you.
And
you're like, I ain't doing anything. What happened? Why are you going to come in and kirk out on me and then come back later on like ain't nothing happened?
Nothing happened. Like nothing happened.
Like these folks crazy.
That's right. And that's when you go to your prayer closet in the ladies' room. And then you come back out and you just smiling too.
And so this is what God is saying. He's saying, you guys, I'm not removing you from this. You all have to learn to deal with it.
That's right.
Right.
I put my deity aside and dealt with it the same way you can deal with it.
Right.
And I'll be there with you. And see, that's the thing about God. God is there with you with the power.
I was just going to say, when you yield to it, you give away that power.
He got the power. You give that power away.
But you, if you do God's way, you keep that power.
He got the power.
But if you yield to and react to someone reacting to you, you are giving away the power that God has given you.
That's it. And so that's what we gotta learn, to have the mind of Christ. We gotta humble ourselves and say, God, I can't handle this by myself. Anybody ever got to see when you get there as a Christian?
Yes.
Come on now. When you get there as a Christian, where you say,
I can't handle it.
Here you go, Lord.
When you've humbled yourself to the point where you say, my arm can't handle this, I go to the Lord quick.
Yep.
Amen.
Quick. It's like, oh no, I'm not dealing with this. Mm-hmm. Hello, God.
Yep.
Jesus,
the load line is
high. Help! And when you get to that point where you humble enough, people say, oh, you call on the Lord all the time. That's all you know is Jesus. And you say,
that's right.
You keep fighting that battle by yourself. Sometimes the Lord say the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. You keep trying to fight it by yourself. That's why your eyes swole up. That's why your lip busted. That's why you limping. That's why you got no money in the bank.
And that's why you got fired.
You don't have no peace. Your kids off the chain and all that.
Because
you keep trying to fight your husband. He upset. The wife upset. Because you keep trying to fight that battle by yourself. But if you hit those knees real quick.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Amen. Say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. What? No other help I know. There you go.
Beth, if nothing else, you get peace in the midst of confusion.
Amen.
And it's nothing like having peace.
Amen. And when he talks about this in verse 7, he says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He didn't come as one that was going to be served, but he came as the one who was serving. Can you imagine? He didn't come as a king, even though he was a king. Can you imagine taking on the mind of being a serve, where everybody seems like now in the church is a diva?
Yes. Want to be recognized. Mm-hmm. Want other people to serve them. Look at me.
Everybody in the pulpit is bishop.
Gotta have the pictures on the billboard.
Amen. Everybody is bishop. Ain't nobody serving nobody. Everybody bishop and wants to be served. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to. And you know, Jesus. How many? When he came to be served, I'm trying to wonder how many. You know, what was the price of the slippers back then? Or the price of the vesture back then. The guy wore one every day, washed it, kept it moving. Now we need, oh my God, millions of dollars. But what are we serving? Who are we serving? Christ came to serve. He said, I got 3 years to deal with y'all. I'm going to do this 3-year ministry. You know, take on a form of a servant, show y'all how to live abundant life, how you can have life more abundantly.
and then I'm gonna go back and after I please my Father, and then, you know, send my Holy Ghost, and, you know, allow you to guys to work out your salvation, and you know, understand that it's not about you, but it's about God. It's mm-hmm. about helping your others out, serving others. And once you learn that, once you get that mindset, then, you know, the situation and circumstances, like, yeah, whatever. Okay, it's going to be like that for me, right? Okay. Yep. Whatever situation I am, I find myself, I'm going to be content. And, you know, I got the mind of Christ. Trouble's not going to last always. Jesus did it. He gave me his Holy Ghost. I can roll with it. We're going to get through this. Amen.
Right.
Ain't nobody tripping. You know, and so he said that he came to serve. If we had more people serving instead of wanting to be served mm-hmm. in the church and going out evangelizing, telling people about Christ, you know, doing the work of the Lord, what would happen is Jesus would come back a whole lot faster and all of us would be out there.
Right. Wow.
We have a new earth. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we want get the hookup on earth right now.
Come on.
We think the abundant life is 12 Rolexes. 12 car garage.
Hello.
Amen. That's what we think abundant life is,
yeah.
Dr. G. Amen. Yeah. We want to live a lot. We want to have 2 lead jets.
Mm-hmm.
5,000.
Well,
amen. That's what we think abundant life. But Christ, he didn't come to set up his kingdom on earth. He's saying to set it up in our heart. Abundant life is having the mind of Christ, knowing Christ. Knowing his Holy Spirit, the presence of his Holy Spirit, the abundant life he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
when people get it twisted.
Yes, it is.
And so that's what they're seeking for on this earth. They're seeking for abundant life on this earth. But how many know that this earth is not our home?
No, thank goodness.
Amen. This is not our final destination.
No.
Amen.
We've got greater things. God has greater things for us. He said he's going to prepare a place for us. Lord have mercy. It's time to go to the cross. Lord have mercy. But he said if he's going to prepare a place for us, he'd come and receive us again to himself. So in other words, why are we living like we won't stay here?
Instead of living like we want other people to come with us where we're going to go.
He said, come and go with me to my Father's house.
Exactly.
But that's not what the church is teaching. The church is a lot of times teaching abundant life,
right, prosperity,
as far as prosperity, material things right now.
Right.
But every new car I ever bought broke down and needed to be fixed or traded in.
That's right.
Or crushed up and started all over.
Amen.
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 But the things that we see now, he says, are temporary. But the things that we don't see are eternal. And so that mind, Christ, then verse 8, and we're getting ready to wrap it up. He says, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Here we go. Tough lift. Get your muscles out.
Uh-huh.
Get your muscles out. Learn how to do the squat. And they're right, Brother Brandon. Learn how to do the squat. Get your back in the right position. Get your stance right, shoulders and feet right. Don't want to hurt yourself. This is heavy doctrine. In other words, this is where we really need serious Bible study. Because in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. A lot of us, that's just like we're allergic to that word. They don't even say that in marriages anymore.
Uh-uh.
It's like you, it's like throwing snakes on people.
That's
obedient.
Right.
You ain't my father.
You can't tell me what to do.
Oh, you are his pastor. He just passed. He put on his pants just like me.
Heard that before.
The heavy lift. He said became what?
Obedient.
Obedient. How many of us got the mind to be obedient? Don't lie. Don't lie. How many of us get this? Is a heavy lift. This is the heavy lift, Brother Brandon. This is the heavy lift. Be obedient. That means that you're going to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. We don't even say that anymore. Oh, that's too old school. That reminds me of subservient. That was a slave day. Don't nobody say that no more. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That's just so, you know, slave time. Nobody wants to be obedient. In the Bible talks about In Ephesians, Paul told us, you need to be obedient to your husband. Wives. Me, my father. He ain't going to tell me what to do. I mean, you know, that's what the Bible said and everything, but I'm my own man. I'm my own woman.
Uh-huh. Heard that.
He ain't going to tell me what to do.
Uh-huh. Heard that one, too.
You better get out of my face.
Hey, man. Heard that one.
Hello.
You left one up.
You're
not the boss of me.
You're not the boss of me. Yeah, shoot. What? Where's the mind of Christ? He said obedient. You know, I know I'm diverging a little bit, but he said that the woman, that the man is the head of the woman because the woman came out of the man, and so she should serve the man. That's a different book, a different chapter. But you got to have the mind to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself and willing to die. So that brings me back to verse 8 in Ephesians 2:8. He said, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Death. Even the death of the cross. In other words, not only death, but the worst death possible.
Torture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the man is supposed to love his wife.
Mm. Don't go there.
Yes. Death.
Why you keep looking
at the worst
death.
On the cross.
In other words, men, we're supposed to be able to put up with the worst foolishness
mm-hmm.
that a woman could have.
Ooh.
On this earth. Oh, have mercy. Are we out of time? Y'all
yes,
got to tune in next week. We got to tune in. You got to tune in next week. Lord, have mercy. That's a heavy lift. This is some serious stuff. We're going in deep. We're going in deep. Amen. But we thank God for this hour of study. And it's just a blessing when we get together. And I missed the last 2 weeks, but we thank God we're able to get back together. So we're just going to pray that God will give us the strength and the health and the ability to continue to go on for another extended period. So we're going to be studying the rest of chapter 2 on next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask you to tune in, come in. Go to the archives, listen in. Dr. June, I ask you to close us out in prayer, please.
Amen. Would you bow with us, gracious God, our Father, we thank you. Evening, O Lord, we thank you for allowing us to go through your word. We pray, Lord, now that what we studied will help us on tomorrow. We pray that you will be with us as we go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that he did. Lord, we thank you for him being the perfect example. Now, Lord, help us to become better than what we were yesterday. Father, we're not going to make a bunch of promises, but we're going to strive to do the very best that we can. Lord, we ask now those that have come out that you would grant us travel and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And pray, Lord, that if on tomorrow it's your will that we awaken, let us awaken with the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you in advance. And we claim all of the blessings that are ours. So we do ask it right now in the blessed name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Have a good night. And hopefully we'll see you or hear you tune in on next Thursday night.